The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
I'd like to welcome you back to the Tip of the Tower podcast on Blog Talk Radio. David Morisuti here with Richard Lee-Sam.
Hello.
You really doing your mic test?
We've been like
trying to figure out the mic situation.
We've been trying to record for like hours, and I've said the word hello at least like 18 times in the past like 5 seconds. So
Richard's mic test every time I say, can you do a mic test? Hello. And he does it so soft, like I half time I don't even know if he's talking.
Hello.
Austin Owens will not be joining us. He is stuck out in Pickering for a family function.
So which one's Austin again?
I don't know. Who was Richard last week when we recorded? Richard probably didn't even listen to the show last week. So
the first thing you said was, like, Richard's not here because of school. I can't be mad at him because of school. And I'm like, all right, good. As long as you respect
me. Richard just wanted to listen to make sure I didn't bash him. And then just
Richard died. So see if he replaced me the first week.
We can't replace you, Richard. And unfortunately, no one can replace what the. Well, I can't even say that. I wouldn't even know what I was going to say there. The Leafs. I don't even know what to say about them right now because they had a.
They're actually good.
Are they actually good? I don't know because they had a pretty good game against
Calgary.
They're
actually young. The Leafs are actually young. I'm going to go put that on some t-shirts and I'll get back to you guys.
You're going to be the next one to make trendy Leafs t-shirts?
Yes.
So as I was saying, they had a really... I thought they were one of their best games of the season against Calgary. And then against the Oilers, they were good for about 10, 15 minutes and then...
I was watching that at school at like 9:30 or 9. I don't even remember.
It started after 9 o'clock.
Yeah. So the Leafs were playing well. Matt Martin was out here scoring on people, you know, like it was
absolute
fun.
Snipe job
it
by
was
Matt
fun.
Martin.
And then watching a game on Twitter is sometimes frustrating, anxiety-inducing, stressful. Watching a Leafs game against the Oilers over Twitter when it's the Leafs playing like the Leafs, that's a whole other realm.
That's why broadcasters say, please watch the game on TV.
It's so bad.
That's not what they mean when they say watch it on your phone, Richard. They actually mean watch eyes on video.
And then as soon as I got home, it was like the last 2 minutes, and then what happened? You want to talk about that now, or
talk about that now because you've been waiting for this moment. Look, if you're a Leafs fan, you are very well aware. If you're a true Leafs fan, I will say, you are very well aware of an incident 2006, 2007, I believe. You may want to look up the date. Richard, see, I don't even have to tell Richard the event. I don't even know what it's. I call it an event. One of those, what they call a trademark Leafs moment, pre-Babcock-Shanahan era.
All I'm saying is that he was watching that game, and I guarantee you he works probably for, threw up and then started laughing happy.
He works
that,
for the Florida Panthers now.
Go, oh, good for him. I feel like he didn't get a fair shake in Toronto because his mistakes were magnified, and people that are listening either are nodding their heads in agreement, or they're seething, or it's like,
or they don't even know who we're talking about because we haven't even said the guy's name yet.
All I'm gonna say is Fu Manchu. Yeah, but what? Okay, so Brian McCabe is who we're talking about. But what Brian McCabe did was in overtime. He was just trying to get into a shootout, clear it, do something. He bangs it in off his.
There was like three people in front of the net,
and then back then, like those Sabre games in Buffalo were fucked.
Yeah,
am I to swear?
Yes, anyways, you are.
It was like
I'm allowing it.
Every time the Leafs went to like Buffalo, it was and then like something bad always happened.
And do you remember who the goalie was in that game?
What was it? Raycroft.
Yes.
I'm
like 80% sure it was Raycroft. I can look that up.
But what Russell did was fantastic. It was like he picked the five hole, he sniped it, he was about to celebrate. Like he was like,
so.
Oh, wait, never mind.
Okay, so Chris Russell, I mean, everyone has seen the Chris Russell overtime. McCabe scored the overtime. It's funny because I'm looking at like my computer right now, and literally the YouTube video, like one of the ones that has the most hits, is called Classic Brian McCabe. We'll get into that in a second here. Chris Russell, so Nazem Kadri is giving him a rough time. So he turns around and he doesn't like try to tap it away. He rifles the puck.
And his stick like flexed.
It like
it went top it shelf, you easy, know. It was there's no Vechkin on the power play from the circle.
So it goes five hole, and like Brousseau was.
I watched that replay 20 times. And I'm like, what is the goalie supposed to do? Even if it's like what you're not expect, like you should expect everything, but you should that like that was a shot. That wasn't like he tipped it back. It was like he shot it right at the goalie.
So okay, this is where I really like I don't even again, I don't know what the goalies think. First off, you're the goalie in front and you try to save it and it doesn't go in. And goalies are, you know, they're creatures of habit. When a goal doesn't go in, they talk themselves out of it. How do you talk yourself out of that? Do you just say, what the hell is he doing?
Especially a young backup goalie. Like, you can't say anything.
Who was having a rough start and just was like Patrick Marleau. Like, I've never seen a guy. I've never seen a guy have Patrick Marleau's number like that. Like, he was just like, hey, old guy, not today. Like, numerous times. And then that last goal was just like.
And I feel like we shouldn't even be allowed to call it a goal. It's just an
incident. Well, NHL.com doesn't want to call it a goal because they don't even have it up on the website.
Really?
So if you hadn't, I don't know if they changed it, but if you went on to NHL.com and, you know, for every game they have clips of the goals so you can watch the goals. I usually use those to embed into articles that I use, and that goal was nowhere to be found. They tried to erase it from existence. But
the Leafs just got 2 points, and the Oilers got none. That's what happened.
That
it was tied at four, and then everyone just went home.
The Oilers were very close to getting a point out of that. A well-deserved point, I would think.
And I mean, like, the whole East versus West thing, you know, like who cares? At some point, like, it's like nobody wants to, you know.
I can't remember who mentioned that, but yeah, it was just like.
Dangle always talks about that.
I actually think it was the broadcast yesterday. They were just like, look, both of us.
Just get it to overtime, right?
Let's get ourselves to overtime. At the same time, I probably wouldn't have wanted to go into overtime against McDavid.
That
probably would not have worked out in the least favorite just because the Oilers.
I don't think Chris Russell wants to go to overtime either.
he's just
everything
like.
About that is just so great. Like, the reaction is so great.
And it's like the reaction, the common reaction too, I saw from a lot of people. Oh, you have to feel sorry for Chris Russell.
David, ask me if I feel sorry for Chris Russell.
Richard, do you feel
hell
sorry
no,
for Chris?
Hell no. The Oilers are so bad. If this happened in any playoff game, or say it was like, you know, Jake Gardner, kicking the puck into the net against the Penguins, right? The Oilers are bad. This season already looks like it's done for them, even though they're, what, 25 games in?
About that.
How do you feel bad for someone like that? The Oilers team, it's not a good team. If he screwed up in the playoffs, who was it? There was a Sharks player that straight up shot the puck in their own net against the Avalanche. Like, if it was
you
something like that.
Hold on.
Was,
I'm going to look that one up because I know which one you're talking about. It was in the playoffs, too.
Yeah. So, I mean, if that decided a game in the playoffs where you're Dan Boyle.
I remember that.
Boyle. If it was something like that where it's like in
and it was an OT.
This was pretty much an OT winner anyways because like
there was no time left. Pretty much not a lot of time left.
You know, it's the Oilers are bad. And then
do you want to talk about that for a second? Because I know this is a Leafs podcast,
but we should talk about the reaction though.
Let's talk about the reaction first, then we'll talk about the Oilers.
This Oilers fandom. I don't even want to say fandom because the media is like in on this too. It's like people won't think twice about criticizing Connor McDavid, the guy who is the franchise, the guy who is
the next face of the face of hockey now.
The guy who is young, but they will never criticize Chris Russell. People kept saying how bad they felt. People were deflecting. I saw one guy blame the ice. You know, it's like, okay, you like that he's the heart and soul of a team, right? He's, compared to the, you know, the average Joe, he's a good hockey player.
He's a third pairing defenseman that's getting paid $4 million.
Yeah. Right? So that's the thing. It's like, compared to the average Joe, he's a great hockey player, but compared to, you know, his fellow hockey player, he's not anything special.
If you try to compare it to guys who are getting paid $4 million, he doesn't live up to stuff.
I get that, you know, you need guys like that in the locker room, but how is he, like, how does he not get criticized for not knowing where? Like, if McDavid does that in overtime, they say he's young, you know, no spatial awareness, no this, no that, doesn't know how to react, you know. But when Russell does it, I feel bad for him. Why would you feel bad?
But you know why? You know how you make someone feel bad for you? You, when it's time to talk to the reporters, you're waiting at your stall, and you have that look in your eyes like, okay, now, I know he probably felt bad, but a better way to make sure that it doesn't deflect bad on you
is you talk to the media that already loves you.
And you also talk in a way that you are regretful. Like, they said he was teary.
Someone calls him a team player. You give your team the loss, and you're a team player.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I'll say I can, at least, he didn't do what, and I'm going to bring a CFL reference into this.
Oh, my God. I know. Oh, okay.
So, Kamar Jordan had a fumble. You and I watched that Grey Cup together. That was, as Richard said on Twitter, it was lit.
Incredibly lit. By the way, I'm a journalism student, and I'm supposed to know words, but that was lit.
Yeah, that's your Twitter vocabulary coming through.
Straight so, lit, fam. Emoji.
So most of you are probably hockey fans and are not CFL fans. But you probably heard about this play. So the Argos desperately needed, like we were talking about this before the play, they needed a turnover.
Every play, we were like, turnover, and then the play,
interception.
Like, I remember saying the play, it started, I was like, okay, never mind, it's probably going to be a turnover, because we're like, they need one right now.
They do. It was in danger of giving up points.
It was like less than like 5 minutes left.
Yeah, less than five.
The Stampeders were already like up a score, and it was like, all right, so we need like
They were up by eight.
They needed the weather to, you know. Well, I also needed the weather because I bet on the Argonauts, but the Argonauts needed the weather or just something to give them
a
hope.
Mental laugh. So Kamar Jordan fumbles it. Cassius Vaughn picks it up and goes 109 yards,
dashing through
house,
the snow,
running. And, you know, the big thing was that they all changed their shoes because they're all slipping and sliding through the snow. So they changed their cleats. That appeared to pay off. and he went all the way to the house for the touchdown. But we're not going to bring up the play. We're going to bring up the reaction, because after the game, Marque McDaniel, a veteran receiver.
A veteran receiver who also pulled up like the 30-yard line, by the way.
Yeah, who didn't run it down like most football players are taught to do. He decided to call what his, I'm going to use his words, stupid football. Stupid play. You have a guy who is trying to give your team the lead. You did not hustle back, but you call him out instead of supporting your teammate. So that's the difference between hockey culture and football culture.
But
because football
like,
culture, you will throw guys under the bus.
But I feel
unless
like,
you have a really good locker room.
Hockey culture is also pretty dumb in the sense that it's like you see guys like Russell being glorified. Like, would I take a guy like Chris Russell on the Leafs? Sure. Would I take a guy like Chris Russell on the Leafs, make him one of like the most talked about players at that cap hit? No, I wouldn't.
If the Leafs paid Chris Russell that cap hit, there would be like a firestorm in Toronto.
But because you show up and you say the right things, and it's like, okay, to shoot the puck on your net, like, how do you not know where you, like, why are you hitting the puck that hard towards the middle of the ice anyways?
Why are you hitting the puck that hard if you're trying to clear it away from danger?
I think the people that did the ice are all in on this. Because they didn't do their jobs.
It's the Leafs conspiracy?
It's not Chris Russell's fault for scoring on his own net. It's everyone else's fault. It's the Oilers fans' fault for not cheering loud enough. It's Connor McDavid's fault for not scoring more.
Not addressing Roman Polak enough.
Like Steve Dangle once said about Brian McCabe, leave Chris Russell alone. It's embarrassing how fast the media jumped to Chris Russell's defense. He scored a goal on his own net. That's your story.
He is a trained hockey player that should know what to do in that situation, and he did the absolute worst thing you could ever do in that situation, and yet does not. Look, personal attacks, I get it. Don't attack him personally. But to say, oh, you should feel sorry for him for because of what he did in the play.
You should feel sorry for this millionaire on a shitty team because he couldn't clear the puck to the right direction.
And yeah. It reminds me a lot of the Laine situation.
Laine wasn't this defended. Because I remember
he got ripped
by everyone.
Well, it was also the Matthews fans who were just like, ha ha ha.
And also, the Laine shot was like any other Laine shot on top shelf. Right?
Top shelf on his own net. I still don't understand.
You talk about hockey culture too. It's like the enigmatic. I'm doing those
air quotes.
Air quotes.
You gotta European get used to podcasting, Richard, with the whole air
winger.
Quotes.
Yeah, the European winger scoring on himself, but the Canadian, the guy that's just a blue collar, you know, down and dirty worker, he gets like he's guy's hero.
I'm very much looking forward to what Don Cherry has to say about it on Saturday, which is tomorrow. I feel like
I forgot it was Friday.
Dude, it's Friday. I know the way that these Leafs games will work with the Western time zone, you just get so tired watching the games, and then like I have to be up for about just after 6 in the morning. So it's rough, but yeah, he's a guy that represents that culture that you're talking about, where he will defend a guy who you're wondering why he's being defended. So I'm very much looking forward to what Don has to say. I have a lot of respect for Don Cherry. This is not me bashing him, but he's the type of guy that will come to Chris Russell's defense because of the type of player he is. You know, the good old Canadian kid who I don't think is worthy of $4 million, but
I don't think
anyway with his skill set is
I
worth
$4 million. Gamble and say that I'm pretty sure that most people in hockey, fans, the media,
nobody wanted him, by the way, for the long, like he was given, I can remember what the contract he signed before. Actually, I have it right up in front of me. I'll look it up. Because before he signed that $4 million contract, he was signed to a 1-year deal at $3.1 million. which was actually at the time when he signed it, people were like, why is he being signed to $3.1 million? Like, and then it was also because the Oilers just needed a defenseman. They had no one. So actually, let's talk about this for a second. Wait.
Can we talk about... Actually, never mind.
No, I want to hear this because you seem to have had something.
There's a certain connection that I don't want to bring up just in case because we're young journalists and I don't want to.
Okay, let's not go with that. I have a good idea of what you're talking about.
I wanted to roast somebody, but let's not do that.
One thing I will give Edmonton credit for in this game. We're going to talk about the Edmonton game now. They go into this game without Tam Talbot. They go into this game without Adam Larson, who was placed on the IR today. Andre Sekera is still out. Oscar Klefbom has been banged up from what I've been told. So you have Klefbom, Russell, Benning, Greiba, Nurse, Ryan Stan, and Johan Ovitu. I don't even know how to say that. I think I screwed that up.
I've definitely heard of that person before.
Everybody on Twitter or anybody I talk to, I kind of got into it with some friend, like some people we talked to. We're expecting the Leafs to totally annihilate the Oilers. Like
when I left school, it was 3-0.
And it was like, because Edmonton scored their first, and then the Leafs scored right after, like 30 seconds after. So it was 2-0, okay, really
so,
early.
Yes. So it was 3-1.
Yeah.
And then I left. And then when they made it 3-3, I was like, why is this happening? Even when Nylander made it 4-3, like 30 seconds later or something.
You didn't feel at ease when he scored.
Yeah, because like, this is like, why? Because
you
this,
know what's going to happen
why
next.
This, why is this happening? And then
not only that, you knew what was going to happen next. You knew that Edmonton was going
to
score again.
I knew who was going to do it to them, too.
That fourth goal was Russell. That's right. I was trying to think of the goals because I know Cassian scored, Letestu scored, McDavid, and then Russell scored. I didn't think Chris Russell was going to score.
No, it's against Toronto in a game like that. Of course, he was going to score.
Okay, so let's go through the game at first because, again, the Leafs got out to a good 2-0 start. People were pretty much writing off the game when Dominic Moore scored at first, because
by the way,
it was two goals very early on, yeah. A backup goalie that has really bad stats.
That was a good shot.
Dominic Moore, I don't think people, I've heard people say that they don't like Dominic Moore. They'd rather have Patrick Marleau play center. I'm in the minority that I say Patrick Marleau should not be playing center because it's going to wear him out. I'd rather wear out Dominic Moore than wear out
Patrick
Dominic
Moore at this point, right?
Look, Dominic Moore has at least contributed.
No, I mean, Dominic Moore knows his role. Right?
He knows his role.
I don't mean that like in a bad way, but he's a fourth line.
He's a fourth liner. Center, right? He knows when he signed the deal. He's a fourth. And it's just like Matt Martin. He knows his role. And to expect more or less, I'm sorry, like if you're expecting Brian Boyle from Dominic Moore, it's not going to happen. We were talking about this before we got on air. Brian Boyle is not a fourth line center. He is a third line center. I stand by that.
That's part of the reason why I liked the fourth line last year, not just because it was because
they weren't
but
a fourth line. They played like a third
it was
line.
Boyle and like Kapanen and then and Martin, right? So yeah. Then it was like that's more than just like your regular like fourth line, like you know, like
not many other line. Teams will have a fourth line like that. I mean, yeah. They'll have a guy like Matt Martin on their fourth line,
but then like a young, fast, skilled winger, and then a guy like you know, like a Brian Boyle,
And people also, forget Brian Boyle did not really score a lot when he was with the
Leafs. I don't think he scored one.
He didn't score a goal. Yeah. He did not. He broke a long drought when he scored for New Jersey, which was a great moment when he did score that goal because of everything he went through. But so Dominic Moore scores that goal. People were already like, okay, open the floodgates. Then Edmonton scores. You didn't see the goal. I kind of broke it down for you. Let me break it down for those who may not have watched the goal. Jake Gardiner decides to hold on to the puck a little bit too long in his own end, which has been a problem for the Leafs. This isn't just something that just happened. Okay, it happened to him. We'll forget about it. It happens way too often. You hold on to the puck too long. Edmonton has a pretty good forecheck. They got pressure on Gardner. His instinct told him the right play was to try to pass the puck with one hand to shove it forward.
Instincts are wrong.
They are very wrong.
In the defensive zone anyway.
You don't do that in defensive zone.
Makes a lot of very questionable decisions.
I will say I don't play hockey, but the one thing I've ever heard anyone say, two hands on the stick. Two hands on the stick. Why are you doing one hand and trying to shove it forward at no one? Because Bakaji was nowhere near in the position to receive the pass. And then it gets turned over and it goes around and it ends up in the net. Like, that goal should not have happened. The second goal, that was the Cassian goal. Yeah, the Cassian goal. Again, kind of his fault, and he didn't get the support I think a guy like him needed on that play, where he sees Cassian, decides to try to block a pass or try to play the puck, and it goes, I can't remember the guy who had the puck behind that, who passed it to him. It was the guy who's on his line. I think it was Kyra, I think.
Yeah.
Okay. So he passes it, and Cassian, I've never seen a guy more wide open in front of the net. That was like me when I used to play ball hockey. But in ball hockey, there's no defense. Everyone's just going after the ball. That's literally what the Leafs looked like on that play.
A big orange ball.
Yeah, let me find the big. Well, it's not a big orange ball. It's a normal size ball, and that's what I saw on that play. Gardner and Zaitsev eyes were on the puck, puck watching again, and Cassian was allowed to just park himself in front of the net, and a goalie is not going to be able to react fast enough. Now,
Martin scored because Matt Marr was wide open.
That too.
Right. So I mean
that was also a turnover, and they had the numbers.
That was a great play.
Great play by Nylander, which, I mean, we'll get to what we're going to talk about Nylander and Marner and the whole fourth line experiments. But again, puck watching. Nylander actually, I kind of faulted him a bit on it because he saw Cassian going to the net. If you can't get to the guy or you're not thinking of getting to him, at least call him out and say, net, front, net, look at the front of the net, you dummies. Because whoever was behind that was actually covered by, I can't remember who was covering behind the net. There was a Leaf guy behind the net covering the guy with the puck. All Gardner and Zaitsev need to do is just turn their heads around. One guy, both guys should not have been looking behind the net. There's no danger there. Look, the danger's in front of you. Well, behind you in this case. So that was my little rant. Things like that, they're mental mistakes. They're not Babcock system mistakes. Because Babcock system, I don't think it says, let the guy go in front of your net and don't pay attention to him.
The Babcock system is actually don't play well the first 10 minutes. Run around.
Okay, so that was the problem. They played too well in the first 10 minutes. And
like, you have to stick to the system. It works. Just play like crap and the game will come.
But then explain to me why the Calgary game was totally different than any other game I've seen them play.
Just keep playing like crap the first 10. It's like Babcock can do all the... And I'm not saying... Like, I'm not jumping to Babcock's defense, but like, you still have to make the plays, right?
Yeah.
A lot of the mistakes that the Leafs make aren't really red flags. It's just like annoying little kind of like, and that's why it's so frustrating, because they're so good, but at the same time it's like, what are you doing? Why are you?
It's mental mistakes. It's mental mistakes will kill your team. Just ask Chris Russell. The only thing I will put on Babcock, number 46 in your programs.
Number one in my heart.
Number one. I was gonna say number one in your kill list or whatever. There's a black book.
Number
of guys that you just want gone. You just you don't want them around anymore. Like, why are they still here? Look,
he's
Roman
not even
Polak,
a Leafs defenseman. He's an MLSC employee. That's it. Like, the checks say MLSC. It's like he's on the ice, but he's not really playing much. He's just...
Is he threatening to sue the Leafs for that injury, and they just don't want to deal with it, so they're letting him play?
Yeah, it's like, just come back then. We'll pay you 1.1. Just don't say anything. Don't talk to anyone. Don't look at any reporters. Just go home after the games.
I have a lot of respect for the physical abuse he took. Like, you know, in that, you know, that injury looked really bad. He has, you know, taken pucks to the face for this team. But at the same time, this team wants to win. This team wants to play the best players that they have. Playing him, I don't understand it. I can understand the guys like Ron Hainsey and Zaitsev need a breather on the penalty kill. Then there has to be somebody else that they can play. And the reason why I bring it up with Roman Polak is because Connor McDavid saw him on the ice and he lit up like a Christmas tree.
You have the best player in the league targeting probably the worst.
He's not the worst. There's, I think, worse players.
He's pretty close to the worst.
He's pretty close to it.
What? Is he a good skater? No. Is he... Can he carry the puck? No.
Not really.
He has a good shot. He scored, yeah. He bounced it off a defenseman 5 feet beside the net.
That was probably the best goal I've ever seen him score, and he didn't even mean to score.
I was on the subway, and I saw Roman Polak goal, and I was like, I can't wait to see how he did this. I can't wait to see. And then
how many times did you watch that over and over
and
over? And
I was like, wait, was he dumping it in? Was he dumping it in on
the offensive? The play was probably to hit it off the boards.
He couldn't even do that right.
You know who I feel sorry for? Travis Hamonic. Because as a defenseman in that situation, what are you supposed to do?
You're supposed to catch the puck.
That's a play where you cannot, you actually have pity on the player. That's a situation, ladies and gentlemen, where you actually have pity on the player.
I didn't know that you could put a puck in like that.
I did.
Just dump it
Mike
in.
Smith.
Like the puck moved really like laterally.
Mike Smith, too, I feel sorry for, because what do you do? I don't think I've ever seen a goal be scored like that ever in an NHL game.
I think puck that went in 200 feet. No. The puck that went in 200 feet on Vesitoskala was more stoppable.
Oh,
than that. I mean, that puck was bouncing, but at least like it was coming right to you. You knew that the puck was there. You get in front of it. That one was just like, all right, it's being dumped into the corner, and then wait, what?
That. Oh.
And then on top of that, Roman Polak didn't score that one.
Yeah, I just couldn't believe when I saw that. Yeah, I mean, Roman Polak stayed in the lineup because of it, and he got burned twice by Connor McDavid, both times for a penalty. Like
Connor McDavid burns good players. Imagine what he would do if he played in the same division.
If he played consistently against Roman Polak every night. Like, it was a whole matchup, and Babcock knew that Polak was probably going to get that matched up against McDavid once in a while. I credit Polak for trying to slow him down by
just
taking an interference call.
Those first four words are all you need to say about Roman Polak in 2017.
I try to credit him for trying.
Credit Polak for trying. That's it. It's like he comes off after a hard shift that they score.
I do admit that interference penalty. Yes, it was interference, but that was also a very soft interference call. The second one, when McDavid comes in with speed, don't trip him. He's going to get the call. He's Connor McDavid. Like, he's not going to... the refs are not going to miss that. It's too obvious. So, I don't know. We'll see what happens against Vancouver. My guess is he's probably going to be back in.
Okay, let's just speak about the game of Vancouver. How angry are they that they have to play at 4 o'clock in the afternoon?
It's a Saturday. What are you doing?
This is supposed to be like hockey night, and like, nope, the Leafs are in town. People would rather watch this game at 7 in Toronto than
I can understand that, but the Leafs are also going to be playing a game at 2 o'clock on a Tuesday against the Carolina Hurricanes.
That's weird. I don't know. Like,
we can get into that too.
Oh, no. Well,
But
when is that game?
It's this month, I believe. Yeah. It's the anniversary of the Toronto Arena's first game.
We can tackle that in the next podcast.
We will. Those jerseys are on fuego, but they're also very nice. You're not probably not a vintage jersey type of guy.
No, like, I am, but it's
they're expensive, man. It's if you more look like at the price, like over $200.
But like all Leaf stuff is expensive anyway. I feel like
hockey, dude. It's hockey culture.
Hockey culture.
You're wearing a nice, snazzy.
I gotta discount this.
Yeah,
like I know someone that works at the ACC.
Exactly.
That's why.
You need to find. I got mine on. I've never paid full price for a jersey. I refuse.
Speaking of. I wonder what they're going to wear against the Capitals in March.
Something similar to what you're wearing, because the outdoor jerseys always look terrible.
I don't mind
it's,
this
it's
one.
Not a terrible one. I didn't like it at first. I understand
like,
the look.
You can tell what an outdoor jersey is just by looking at it, except the Senators one. But BC Place isn't really outdoors, is it? But
no. Well, it's a hybrid. It's like Skydome.
Most of, you know, those outdoor games, the jerseys that they wear, it's either really great or it's crap.
Yeah, ask the LA Kings what they thought about their outdoor jerseys and the Ducks.
Like even this one, like why does the Leafs one have silver on it?
Centennial. That's how Centennial is silver. That's how you celebrate. The reason why I didn't like the Leafs Centennial Classic jerseys, I always called it the outdoor, the Winter Classic game. People got mad at me.
I was at right like
I was there.
Yeah, and I was like, oh yeah, like the Winter Classic, we're at the Winter.
and Gary Bettman's like, hey, no,
nope,
no,
this was the only game that played today. I don't care about the other ones, just this one. That's
The reason why I didn't like that jersey, the one you were wearing, is because it looks like a Montreal Canadiens jersey.
I'm gonna fight you right
except,
now.
Except it doesn't have the shoulder stuff.
Oh,
but
now I can't unsee that.
Richard's just like, I want to exchange. It's not exactly like it, but the whole thing in the middle. Just find someone who wants a Matthews jersey.
I'm gonna go with Sam Burnett now.
Yeah. So I can understand why Vancouver Canucks fans are not happy about the 4 o'clock start. But if you were gonna ask executives of the broadcast company that is showing the game, do you want to broadcast
it?
If you
could
ask
anyone with a brain, would you rather have the Leafs playing
at
7 o'clock p.m.?
10 o'clock?
Oh, yeah.
10 o'clock p.m.?
Or 10, right? I'm pretty sure that nobody cares about, and I know that this will make people mad if they hear it, but it's the Leafs. Like, if the Yankees came to Toronto and said, hey, we want a game.
At 4 o'clock.
At 3 a.m., I'd be like, all right, I'm going to wake up early and watch that game, right? You have no choice.
Well, the Yankees came to town on a weekend, and they flexed the game to four o'clock on a Sunday.
That was the game that Batista hit that pinch hit. I mean, not pinch hit. That three-run homer with Ken Pillar's bat. It was there.
Yeah.
They changed the time of that game.
They changed it because the market in New York wanted to watch the game
and
later
also,
in the day.
The Jays were a playoff team then,
that
right?
was in the playoffs, yeah. So they flexed the game because it was a more premier matchup. The Leafs are going to dictate the broadcast schedule in any. Like, I think part of the reason why they started at 9 o'clock instead of like 9:30 or, you know, 10 o'clock. I mean, the Calgary Flames don't start games that late, but it was probably because the Leafs. 9 o'clock game is manageable. Those games were not too bad. 9:30, 10 o'clock, you're kind of pushing it. That game's not ending until 12:30.
As me and somebody from the center of the universe in Toronto, I'm not staying up that long.
No, and newspapers,
that's a lie, I am, but still,
newspapers like, have deadlines. You and I both know how it works.
It's so funny hearing this conversation because we're not really that serious, but like imagine somebody from Vancouver like sitting at the chair across from me, they would be like, just seeing red, listening to us going, yeah, but like we think it should be at our time.
Look, for at least they're not pushing it forward. That's all I'm gonna. It's gonna suck when the Leafs are playing when Vancouver comes to Toronto, or when Edmonton comes to Toronto. Or
nope, they're playing at our time. That's it.
They're playing Leafs time. That's gonna suck.
That's gonna suck for them.
That's gonna suck for them. Well, maybe they need to leave work a little later.
Maybe they just need to find somewhere better to live.
Yeah, Edmonton, I wouldn't want to live in Edmonton. Not because it's not.
I feel cold just talking about Edmonton.
Yeah, it's just cold. It's not even because it's not a great. They're improving the city. Calgary's a great city. I know people who live in Calgary or have been living in Calgary for a while. They like it. Let's change gears from the Western road trip where they can sweep it all three games, which hasn't happened in a long time. I can't remember the last time it happened, but
every.
They always
road
lose
trip
in,
that I think of about the Leafs, they just get their ass beat. That's,
they always
that's
lose,
how bad the Leafs have been for so long.
They always lose in Calgary. They beat Edmonton. And then they either... The Vancouver game is usually... sometimes they
when
win,
was the last
sometimes
time they played there? Was that... That wasn't the Bury night, was it?
Against Vancouver?
Yeah, that seems so long.
No, that was the night where they had the brawl.
Oh, yeah!
The famous Matt
no,
Martin
that was
and
the good Branson.
Good Branson, yeah, where he's literally...
Imagine telling somebody that you're going to kill them the next time you see them and then not even winning the fight. I hope that if someone does something dumb... I mean, I hope that everyone leaves the game uninjured, but I hope that like someone just like does something dumb and starts a brawl.
You know, these are two teams that don't like each other. It could happen. Is Gabranton playing? I know. Is he hurt? I haven't really. All I know about the Canucks is that they're better than most people expect them to be.
Because
people
of Brock
are
Besser.
Brock Besser, oh, who didn't even start the season.
A tweet I saw. A Vancouver fan said, "I wonder how much it costs to take out an ad." The Toronto Star because like they want to take out an ad for Brock Besser. Like, why would we care? You're playing at 4 o'clock. That's it.
But when I look at like Vancouver, Brock Besser was a healthy scratch to start the season. Like, people in Vancouver were not happy. I couldn't believe it because Brock Besser is a decent player. He's probably going to be top three in Calder. Trophy voting. It's going to be him, Heischer, Keller, Barzal is making a case. Like, this is a
good year for rookies.
People were looking at this year of rookies and saying it's not as good as last year's.
Yeah, well, because.
But last year's was just Matthews and Laine.
It was Laine and the Leafs. And then.
You know, you have Rensky.
Rensky, yeah.
I can't remember who else.
Well, because,
was
I mean,
in that.
Scoring went Matthews, Laine, Marner, Nylander. And then it was like. Like, it was good, but, like, now it's, like, it's actually, like, it's starting to look like a race, right? Like, a huge race, not just, like, 1-2.
I was just checking to see whether or not Gabranson was injured. And the very first article that comes up on Google News, Leafs interested in trading for Eric Gabranson. And I'm like, who would, and this was by the Canuck Way.
Of course it was.
Come on, guys. Like... The Leafs have a slow defenseman. No, Gabranson is not a bad defenseman. He's just not. The Leafs are not going to pony up for a defenseman like that. And we'll get into that. I want to still talk about Vancouver. Yeah. So Besser, he's a guy to watch. Bo Horvat. I'm still saying he wasn't worth trading Corey Schneider for, but he's starting to come around on it. Come around. Like he's a good player. Like he's a player the Leafs. Would take,
yeah.
I like if somebody said, "Would you take Bo Horvat for your team?" Yeah,
I just said I would take a Chris Russell on the Leafs like, if he made nothing. So I don't think I'm allowed to say no to any other player. No thanks, I don't want Horvat. I just want a team full of Chris
Russell.
I think
part of the reason is though they're not relying on the Sedins as much as they used to.
Well, they're old now.
Yeah. Hey, they. I think it was Daniel that got his 1,000th point.
I was just about to say that, but like I don't know. I still don't know the difference.
Well, they're not going to tell by the face, that's for sure.
Yeah, it was Daniel.
And so Michael Delzato is like their top defenseman in terms of minutes played, which I wouldn't have expected. The Canucks, when I looked at their offseason, I just didn't know what they were trying to do. Were they trying to get, like, they would do what the Leafs used to do. Have okay guys... Add some more okay guys at free agency. So they had like Sam Gagner come in. Delzato came in. Then they had Anders Nielsen signed to Like, you signed your backup goalie to, like, a two-year contract. I'm like, and they paid him more than what every backup got. And we're just like, what is Vancouver doing?
Always love
doing?
To commit to backup goalies.
And it's worked better than what I expect, better than what most people expected. People are waiting for the drop-off. The drop-off will come if sorry to say this, Vancouver fans. It's going to come when Besser hits a wall.
Besser can't score.
When he can't score.
The time.
The goaltending hits a bit of a wall because, hey, Jakob Markstrom was a good goalie prospect. Can he keep this up all 82 games? No, not as many games as he's going to be playing over an 82-game season. We'll see. It'll be, I think, this should have been the second hardest matchup for the Leafs. It might be. Calgary Wood should have been the toughest matchup because they're the team that are playing pretty good going into that one. Edmonton should have been the easiest. It turned out to be the hardest.
I was nervous that they would lose that game because I talked
a stupid goal,
way
right?
too much shit on Twitter for the Leafs to like give up that game. But
so I'm looking forward to tomorrow night's game. I always look forward to a Leafs game. Regardless of who they're playing, I mean, maybe not the Carolina Hurricanes, but this should be decent because, you know, both teams are playing well. They have some decent, you know, they got some guys who are lighting it up now. One of those guys I want to talk about on the Leafs is William Nylander.
Wait, you want to talk about a fourth liner and be nice about it?
You know what? I think we listened to Mike Babcock talk about Nylander. I think that was the first time I've ever heard him say fourth line. Like, and I actually, like, realized he said fourth line. He's like, oh, screw it. I said fourth line.
He's a fourth liner.
He's not a fourth liner. Okay, he's obviously not a fourth liner.
He's a fourth liner to Mike Babcock, but, like, just for the time being,
It's more of he wants. I don't even think it's more that Nylander's not playing well. He doesn't want Nylander to be struggling with Matthews when.
He wants
Brown.
Well, I mean,
and Hyman.
Did
with
you remember
him.
When Matthews wasn't playing that well? And I mean, I know that it's different because Matthews is a center, and like you have to do more.
Yeah, it's not just what he does offensively.
But Babcock said we'd have him to like a top center by Christmas.
That was last year.
Yeah,
though.
Right. So like, yeah. He knows what he's doing. It's like
he has a plan. People think he's just making up things as
like
he goes.
When Babcock was doing that with Matthews, like people were like, "Why is he doing this?" It was like Babcock knows what he's doing. I'm not saying that everything that Babcock does
you
as
agree
well,
with.
But, yeah,
no coach is perfect. Like,
I mean, if you dress Roman Polak, I don't think you're, you know, always making the right moves. But still, I mean, Babcock's a good coach, and I feel like he knows exactly what he's doing with Nylander. And Nylander is like, it looks like he's enjoying, well, not enjoying his time on the fourth line, but still like having fun playing with Martin, I guess. Like going down to the fourth line is kind of like a field trip for these guys. Like you see a guy like Marner, like back in like October, and it's like, you know, just play a few shifts with Martin and then just go back up there and like
and
have
you
fun,
stay there
right?
for a
yeah.
while.
But
it's, you know what? Has it hurt Nylander?
The thing,
I don't think it has.
This is why I think Nylander is a good player. Nylander makes the players around him look better. Even if, you know, like Dominic Moore like isn't that great. It's like you saw the turnover and then the tic-tac-toe goal. And then you realize it's friggin' Martin and Moore, right?
Exactly.
And I mean, like, he's getting, like, 15 minutes a game now. Or
well,
less,
he's getting
like
12. He was getting, yeah, he was at about 10 against Calgary, just over 10 against Edmonton. So, yeah, he's not going to be playing a lot because he's playing with, you know, Moore and Martin. But, yeah.
He's still putting up points, too.
Exactly. I just wonder next, when do the, if your Babcock, is it Marner or is it Nylander that plays with Matthews? I'm more with Nylander because I think Nylander and Matthews have this weird Arizona-Sweden chemistry.
As one does, right? Arizona-Sweden, same thing. The exact same thing.
Because at the beginning of the season, that duo was unstoppable.
They both know where
each other are
like at all times.
Well, the power play goal that Matthews scored against Edmonton, Nylander made the perfect pass,
and then Matthews just like,
thank you,
catch release. That's it. Right?
Yeah, Nylander is a very underrated playmaker, and his shot is underrated too.
And something that people don't even notice that, like, he back checks all the time.
He made a great. I mean, Ray Ferraro brought it up. He made a great defensive play on Connor McDavid. That's what you expect from a guy. That's what you expect from a guy who went in the top 10. Obviously, you don't expect to have him to have the defensive awareness to be able to shut down on Connor McDavid, but he has the talent and the understand that, look, I need to just slow him down. And a skilled guy knows how to slow down a skilled guy. Nylander, I think, is the best skater on the Leafs. He's going to know how to slow down a Connor McDavid. McDavid is just super speed, like, you know, Sonic. But Nylander just knows how to... He's smart enough to know how to defend against it.
And I, like, for the longest while, people wanted to trade him. And it's like, I kind of see that we're going back there again. Like, you know, we don't need to trade every good thing we have just because we have other, like needs, right? That's why I want to ask you something.
Okay.
Speaking of trades and speaking of Nylander, I'm not going to...
Let's go with the trades now.
I'm not going to propose a dumbass trade. I'm just saying.
Not going to propose a block trade?
No.
I've seen a lot of those.
Even
though this is kind of a block, but... I'm talking about, like... No,
like, what's it
Uber
called?
Leafs fan.
No. What's that site that people use that, like, it's known for, like, dumbass Leafs, or not Leafs, but just trade?
NHLTradeRumors.com? No.
Boards.
HF boards.
Yeah, okay. So, Erik Karlsson, he has this year and one more a year left.
So he's in a free agent after next season.
He's made it very adamant that he will not be taking a hometown discount. He said, you know, he wants, you know, like, what he's worth. Would you give up, you know, in terms of talent, what would you give up for him?
Nothing.
You wouldn't trade?
I would not trade for him, because if you're confident you can try to sign him, you can try to sign him. I wouldn't try to trade for him unless you are able to do it and not totally change the makeup of your team, like what Edmonton did. Edmonton goes to the conference finals. Their first time in the playoffs in a while. They go all the way to the conference finals, and they trade Eberle. They bought out Pouliot. What was the other guy that they got rid of too? Was it just Eberle that they got rid of? Because they brought in Strome.
Eberle.
You got rid of Eberle, Hall, Pouliot. What do you have to show for it? Ryan Strome is supposed to. People were like, "Oh, but or Eberle didn't score in the playoffs."
They're
but
desperate Eberle, for scoring.
They're desperate for scoring, and Eberle is lighting it up. In New York,
I've been seeing
this is where the Leafs have to be very, very careful. Erik Karlsson, yes, he's the type of guy that I don't mind trading for and trying to bet the bank on to get something to, like. But do the Leafs are the Leafs willing to make that investment? That's the question you have to ask.
It would be cool to see the Leafs acquire one of the best players in the world. I think he is the best. I think he's the definition.
He's the
of,
best.
I think he's
talent in terms of talent, best player, both sides of the ice. I'm still not on that.
I feel like he's a great defensive player, because you see the stuff that he does, and it's not really.
Yeah, he's not a terrible defensive player. Like when he first started. See, he was kind of working around it.
People often said that, you know, he's just a forward wearing skate.
No, he's not.
He plays great defense. He now in 2017 in this day, it's like
you don't need a bruiser on your back.
But like with hockey culture, you hear defensive player and you think of Chris Russell, right?
Drew Doughty is the other whatever one's.
But like defensive, like the talent, you think of a guy like just like
the bruiser, the guy that I mean, you think of like a Ron Hainsey type of guy,
right? But what Carlson does is that he can control the puck. He knows exactly like what's going on, even if it's like something small, like you know, like just breaking up a play. He does it well, and I feel like people don't really understand. Like they see him and his smooth skating, and I feel like after, I think that McDavid is the best player in the league, and then I'd go Crosby just because of you know. But then after that, I'm saying
Carlson,
and then I think he's proved that to people outside of Ottawa just based on that cup run. Because he did everything. Like he
had and part might, of his ankle removed because that's how much wear and tear he had on it.
Yeah, and this might make people angry, but he's the closest thing to Bobby Orr that we have in this...
In this era.
Yeah, like in this... The closest thing that we could get to Bobby Orr. Because there's not going to be another player like
you're never going to have another player like Bobby Orr.
But Erik Karlsson, I mean, if you weighted it just by, you know,
if he did the whole error adjustment scoring that people like Steve Dangle writes about, I guarantee you he'd be close.
Yeah, and I mean Bobby Orr is one of those players that revolutionized his position, just like Patrick Waugh did. Because, I mean, Patrick Waugh did the butterfly, Bobby Orr would just start jumping into plays, right? So I get that he
was good defensively.
Yeah, he revolutionized that position, but Carlson is just, you know, I mean, watching him is an art.
Yeah. You're always, you know, a guy is a good player or an elite talent is when he has the puck on his stick, you get excited. If you're the team that's playing against them, you shit your pants, pretty much. I would trade for an Erik Karlsson, but his situation. You can probably bet he's going to leave Ottawa because...
Are you saying that you think that the cheap owner isn't going to shell out the max contract?
The cheap owner is going to ask the general manager that if you do want to sign him, someone else has to go.
You know what? I feel like there's a defenseman that's overpaid on that Ottawa roster.
Yeah. A nice little gift from Dave Nonis.
Imagine
actually, sorry, Lou... Well, Dave Nonis signed him to the contract. Lou Lamoriello was like, I got a nice little present for you.
I hope that they can afford Carlson, and I hope that...
It's because of him?
The difference between like what Carlson wants and what Ottawa wants to give is like something like $2 million.
If you're Ottawa, that number is nowhere below $11
million. Yeah.
But, like, they can give him the extra year... I'll give Ottawa that that advantage.
Just knowing how Ottawa spends, it's like
they're not gonna
that extra
it.
Year isn't going to be like. So I mean, I hope that you know. And there's just this weird thing in hockey and pretty much like sports in general, that you don't trade stars within
your
division, right? But
that's the other thing too. That's why.
But I mean, if they could take the Leafs captain, maybe.
That was a trade where Ottawa was like, this is a guy that can make our defense better.
Yeah.
The Leafs took off really bad money that they didn't want to spend.
Not a cent was retained on FNUF, and I still don't believe that. It's just...
Well, at least they take Jared Cowan, who was getting paid a lot. Milan McCulloch was getting... They wanted a player that could actually give them... FNUF did give them something. It's just not what a...
Yeah.
I think he's getting, what, 6.5?
Seven million.
That's right. He was being paid 6.5 when he came to Toronto. Then the Leafs actually gave him a pay raise because that's, you know, what you do when you have a guy who you make your captain after a 15-game stint or however long that stint was. And you also give him a raise when the Leafs have a collapse in a playoff game and he's the captain. And
somebody involved in 24/7 made that extension happen, and I want to know who it was.
Yeah.
Poor Dave Nonis just...
was him and Kessel.
Yeah.
The two buddies. You want to talk about a buddy force, those two. You know, Kessel coming at his age, that was cute when he did that. this is where it brings me to the talk is always about, you know, Doughty started this whole thing. Let's be real. This was all Drew Doughty's fault.
Doughty straight up said that, you know.
He's like, I am going to talk to Erik Karlsson, and we're going to collude. Okay, I might even call this collusion. It's more of, we're going to find out the best way to get paid.
We're going to get paid together. We're going to.
They're not going to get the same amount.
We're going to prosper.
If I'm Erik Karlsson, I'm looking at Drew Doughty, and I'm saying, you want to get more than me?
You go get what you want, and then I'll ask for more, because I deserve more.
Yeah. And this is the issue in the NHL today, is not many teams are going to be able to take on that type of salary.
Yeah.
While building a good enough team around. Edmonton's feeling that. Although Edmonton has cap space. And they had cap space when they moved guys around. But this is what happens when you pay McDavid, $12.5 million? And that's what he's getting. He was originally going to get more, and then he decided to take less, a little bit less, so that they had a little bit of breathing room. This is why when Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews got paid $10.5 million each, I said this is going to be the biggest mistake Chicago makes. They won you cups? Fantastic. Do you still want to win cups? I look at the smartest organizations in sports. The teams that have been there consistently. I look at the Spurs. I can't believe I'm saying it. I'm looking at the Patriots. I know that hurts you a little bit.
I mean,
but you look at those organizations, baseball's different because baseball's stupid. NBA now has kind of become stupid because of what you pay, because there's no such thing as a salary cap in the NBA. But you look at those teams, the culture is, and it's what Steven Stamkos did. I'm going to point to Steven Stamkos as what people thought would be the trendsetter. When he took less because he wanted to stay in Tampa. And then he didn't say it, but it was kind of implied. Yeah, this much. Victor Hedman, you're taking less to stick around. That's why where I think the Leafs are going to establish the same exact culture. Hopefully, Matthews will get his money, but he's not going to get McDavid money.
Well, I mean, you
because
look at
Matthew, that. And people are like, oh, but Matthews ain't you. Who decides if they want to win or not? It's not the agent. It's the player.
I feel like that factored into what Riley signed for and what Kadri signed for. Because it's like...
You guys are not... They're not...
You talk about what Russell makes. You look at what Kadri makes now. And
that's the best bargain,
like,
I think, in the NHL right now.
Especially a guy
one
like
of the best.
Riley. Because Riley is like... A lot of players get paid for future. So it's like either you give me a bridge deal or you pay for...
My UFA
I can do now
years.
And what I can also do like in the future, and Riley's only making.
You
five
take a bet.
Now.
You take a bet on those guys, but if you know a guy, a manager group like with Lou and Babs, these guys know what these guys are capable of and what they will be capable of. Yeah. What they're paying for Kadri now is what they expect from him. They don't expect him to go any higher. Just play the way you are, and it's perfect. Same with Riley now. Riley has upped his game, and now where he's getting paid, if he continues to play like this, you're good.
Yeah.
You can win with this type of guy playing at that level. It's when you start paying guys more, but their game, like, it's like the money goes up, but their play doesn't. You have to watch where that line is, right? Stamkos is getting paid. I think he got 9.5. I think that's what he signed for. Like, the Leafs were going to offer him maybe it is less. Like, the Leafs didn't...
Like, it was... It, I feel
the Leafs
like
were going to offer him, like, what, 10.5? Like, I think that's what the...
I think it was, like, 8 or something.
8.5. Wow. I think the Leafs wanted 10.5.
Well, the Leafs,
what
like,
offering.
It was obvious that he didn't really... It's not just, like, caring about money. It's, I guess, the chance to win. And maybe taxes factored into Stamkos' decision, but, you know.
Yeah. I look at... Yeah. I just look at what... With the whole, Matthews will be up for... Can get an extension Marner can get an extension. Nylander can get an extension. People keep looking at what the Oilers did, what Tampa Bay.
Like, I don't think anyone should.
Actually, no one really has been talking about Tampa Bay. Every team's management and culture around the team is different.
Yeah.
Now, that's what differentiates every NHL team. Why people are saying, oh, McDavid and Matthews will get paid the same. Draisaitl, and then you put him in the same conversation as Marner or Matt. Like, that's not how it works. That's not how it should work. That's not how other teams look at it.
I mean, that's how agents will try to play it, but then at the same time, it's like it's exactly what the player wants. And saying that, you know, you value both players as comparables, it's like, all right, that's a bridge. I'm not a bridge. That's like a starting point, right? But
that's what allows agents to determine value for their players, and I understand that. But
saying that also assumes that you think that all players are the same in like their thought process and like exactly what they want, right? Like, I mean, Matthews could say, I want Max, this and that, but then I don't think Matthews might not even do that because if Matthews wants to win here,
Matthews,
I'm not saying Matthews will take less.
You listen to how Matthews talks. Yes, Connor McDavid also says the same thing too. But Connor McDavid, if he takes $10 million, there's a problem.
Yeah.
He is. Matthews and McDavid. Like, I mean, Matthews is a good player, but he's not carrying your team. Like, he's the only guy on the team that's carrying the team to playing, like, keeping the team in a respectable level. Right? He understands that in order to win, there's sacrifices to be made. So, and then the people always go with the argument, he can make more if he leaves. Why would a player want to leave if they like the situation they're in? Which is why Stamkos did not know the situation in Toronto. Right? He didn't know what, there was a lot, like, nobody would have expected the Leafs to be almost cup contenders 2 years, a year after picking,
you had a guy like
first
Matt Hunwick taking those like ceremonial face-offs.
This Leafs change.
That was peak tank.
If I guarantee, if Stamkos may have, he wants to win in Tampa, and I think he made the right decision. Go back in Tampa, and the Leafs probably are a little fortunate that I think it was his first year was disastrous because of the injuries. Now he's lighting it up with Kucherov. People are like, imagine what Stamkos would have been like on the Leafs. Well, the Leafs would have looked differently if, like, the Leafs' it would have changed everything. Because you have to now build around, the money has to work. Now, the whole Matthews-Stamkos dynamic would have meant that Matthews would have made a little less because Stamkos is your highest paid player, or would have been the highest paid player. Bozak would have been gone. Like,
no, I still keep Tyler Bozak just because.
Just because?
Just because.
You know, you have the sentimental against the longest tenured Leaf on the team. It's true, though.
Yeah.
Kadri would have been the third line center, technically. I mean, people would have been like Matthews and Stamkos would have played together, but we don't know that.
I like that we're at the point where...
Actually, I'm getting a little depressed talking
where
about
the Leafs don't... Yeah, I was going to say. I like how, like, you know, the Leafs don't need Stamkos, right? Like, it's... No. And I'm not saying that they're...
They're not like a team like Montreal that needs... Yeah. Like, you have to be going all out for John Tavares.
The Leafs can do their
point.
Own thing and still... Yeah. Like, they're the highest scoring team in the league as of...
They're not the now, Ottawa right? Senators who needed to trade for Matt Duchene because Kyle Turris was leaving and you would have been screwed down the middle. They're not like, you know, Edmonton, where it's like you have to make sure that McDavid and Draisaitl are signed because you're going to have a hard time bringing anybody else on to this team. Yeah. Like you traded away. You need to make sure those guys are locked up. Although they locked up everybody else and decided to trade them after. Like Nugent Hopkins, I don't know. If the Oilers keep struggling, he's the next one to go. And he shouldn't be because the way they've handled their development, that's just another conversation.
But I mean, I don't think that they will trade him because Peter Chiarelli doesn't ever trade good players. Ever.
That's true.
I can't, like, imagine being a diehard Oilers fan and looking at Peter Chiarelli like, what the hell are you going to do next? Right? Like,
yeah, it's scary. I mean, with the Leafs, there's no telling what they're going to do because no one hears anything.
Yeah, because Luke kills people. And no one will ever cross him.
I'm surprised one of the people in my program is doing their internship at MLSC. I'm surprised he's still alive.
Luke's going to kill him. Call him right now and tell him to...
I talked to him earlier. He's good.
Is he alive?
He's alive. Okay, I haven't seen him in a while, but he's alive.
He's not texting you then. That's someone
no,
else.
He's Facebook.
That's Lou texting you.
Yeah, that's what Kyle Dubas is still there for, just to show Lou how to work his technology.
Or Kyle's one texting you because Lou can't use a computer, right?
Yeah. I also look. People keep saying they need to trade for a defense. They need to trade for a defenseman. The Vatanen trade that New Jersey made kind of signaled that.
Wait, what did you say?
The Vatanen trade with New Jersey.
I thought you said some random name. I was like, who are these people?
Sammy Vatanen.
Yeah.
That trade.
That Vatanen and trade all like meshed to like one. I was like, who are you talking about now?
I think. That's a trade that, unless the Leafs were willing to up the price from what New Jersey paid, which, I mean, people
Adam
wouldn't...
Adam Henrique, you know.
Adam Henrique is... He's a second-line center. On New Jersey, he was a second-line center. I think on Anaheim, he's going to have to play. They needed a center. Like, that team was just decimated with injuries.
Yeah.
And he's still signed, so it made sense for them. Like it was Henrique, Blandisi, and a third. The equivalent for the Leafs probably would have been Bozak, Brown, and a pick. Would you trade that for a defenseman? Yeah, you would trade Bozak and a pick for a defenseman. But Connor Brown is one of those guys where you look at it and say
you could plug him in anywhere. Right?
He's the guy that makes this. He's one of those valued players we talked about where he takes less money because he likes playing here. He's also from here. And he takes less money. He knows he took less money.
So, like, we have two gingers. And, like, they... I know that like, they do, like, some type of magic, right? So, Brown and Anderson just have that little ginger thing going. You can't trade a ginger like that.
No.
But also, like, I like how with Brown, like, you can put him on the fourth line, but then, like, when someone gets hurt, it's like, all right, Brown is just slotting in.
There's not many players and I've seen that can play fourth line and say, oh, we need you to play with Austin Matthews. Can you do that? And he's effective. We need you to go and play with Bozak and JVR, who are terrible defensively, and you have to babysit them. And he can do it. He played with Kadri and Komarov at times. Like he's the perfect type of player the Leafs need to try to keep around. And he will take less than what he is valued at because he's that type of player that we talked about that wants to contribute to a championship and he just likes playing in Toronto. He is also a guy that was picked in the sixth round. Uh-oh.
So
you have this look on your face and I don't like it.
This is some Toronto news. This is really weird. So last week the Braves hired Anthopoulos.
Uh-oh, we got some Blue Jays talk coming in.
Who came and poached Tinnish.
Yes.
So now, the team announced that Andrew Tinnish has withdrawn from recently announced position as VP of Amateur and International Scouting to remain with the Blue Jays.
That's interesting.
Okay, so
I really now Rosenthal, we really do feel like the Steve Dangle podcast where we just randomly bring in other news as we're talking about the
Leafs.
Well,
I mean, like the tower, right? anyways, tower. This is
there is a tower in Toronto, right?
I don't know. I'm from Brampton.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry to hear that.
Apparently, personal family considerations. That's just weird. But anyways, I just thought there was worth
his
mentioning.
Family's like, you want to go where?
I'm not going to Georgia. I'm staying in Toronto.
I'm staying
He's
in
like,
Toronto.
Okay.
My cousin had an interesting experience when she was at Atlanta the last time with the cab driver. So I wouldn't. I could vouch for anybody that wouldn't want to live in Atlanta. But I mean. Yeah, I guess there's more to the story that will eventually be brought up by Shai Davidi.
Yeah.
Because, you know, those are the guys that always... Who was the one that reported it?
Ken Rosenthal.
Ken Rosenthal. Ken is also the other guy that will do that. All right. I do want this... I don't want to keep the people listening too long because they probably, if they stayed this long, I am very, very surprised. Just want to wrap this up. The whole trading for defensemen... I say you can make some marginal upgrades they've done such a good job of getting guys like Ron Hainsey to plug in, Andreas Borgman. They've kind of said to themselves, we don't want to blow our brains out in a trade that we don't need to make unless the deal makes sense for the team.
Yeah.
They tried the reported Hamonic for JVR, which would have
so
it would have been fine, like trading, I think.
But I mean,
I would have been fine with trading JVR
a need like that. I don't know. Hamonic hasn't played that well in
Calgary. Calgary was they're weird. It's a weird team because that D-Corps, it looks good. It's just the fit isn't. Guys can look good on paper, but unless they fit the system or get that chemistry,
yeah,
you take risks like that, doing things like that. So, I think you know Hamonic would have probably worked on the Leafs. He may have been a little less valued than what JVR is providing right now. It would have worked out for the Islanders, which is just when I look at the Leafs and with the whole, and people like, oh, trade JVR. He's tied for the team lead in goals. He has an integral role on the power play. Okay, people are going to say, no, he's not good defensively, but you're taking a chance that a Josh Levo or Nikita Soshnikov are going to have to play those minutes well enough that this is again like what the Oilers did. You trade someone out. I mean, people are going to say, well, bring Kasperi Kapanen up. You know how much pressure that is on a guy like Kasperi Kapanen?
Yeah.
Eventually he will have to do it, but to do it in season is a little different than having the off season to prepare for it.
Yeah.
So again, if they do end up making the trade, they're just going to, they'll probably know in confidence that they'll have a guy to replace JVR. I don't think they're going to sign him. I just think this is one of those where you have to just cut your losses. And
I mean, like, and they're, right, like there are kids that are ready too, right? You know,
look, Andreas Janssen is going to be coming up. You're going to have Kasperi Kapanen coming up. Josh Levo's waiting. Nikita Soshnikov is waiting.
Josh Levo is literally in the ACC press box.
How about
right
that goal he scored against Carolina? Where he came in so and ago. Sniped.
Oh, yes.
It was last week. So long. It was last week.
I've been at school every day just doing stuff. It's been a long week.
Come on. We know half the time at school you're looking at Leafs videos or Jay's videos.
No, not this week.
Okay.
So much to do.
But this is where you have, yeah, as an organization like the Leafs are going to know that they'll have the guy ready to step up when they make the trade. And you just have to, you have to just go with it. That's just it. You're gonna have to go with it, and if it works, it works. If it doesn't, you're not gonna win every trade.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's how other teams have smart general managers. They're not all like Peter Chiarelli. They're all like,
I feel like we should just keep talking about the Oilers for like the next 5 hours and how bad they are.
Leafs fans will find a lot of entertainment.
And then the Habs,
that.
just because.
Oh, the Habs. We could probably just do a.
Hey, Price is back, but I mean,
that team has a lot of issues.
Yeah,
that are being masked.
A lot of people,
Anderson has masked some of those issues on the Leafs, but
a lot of people were like, "Oh, Price is back. This changes everything." What does that change? Is Price like?
He's
going to
be
now?
Broken. He's gonna get. He's gonna.
They, Price played both games in a back to back.
He did. He also was off for.
Yeah, but still, I mean, like.
Yeah, I think you know. I think Vasilevsky played both games of a back to back.
Twice, but that's because
he's also a little younger.
I mean, when you have shitty back boys, I guess you know.
How do good teams like Tampa, there's some other teams. I mean, kind of the Leafs are doing that too. You have a backup goalie, and then maybe you have a better backup goalie somewhere else, or there's better backups available, and you're just like, nah, we're cool with mediocre. Like, McElhinney, you got us that save you made against the Penguins. You know, peace, thank
Crosby
you.
Crosby didn't want to roof the puck or something.
That too. he made the save. Let's just let him have that moment, please.
Crosby goes shelf, and it's like that's a whole different story.
It's a whole different story, yes. But I think it was just the time, you know, rush the shot. Matthews had one of those against the Oilers yesterday where he just rushed that toe drag a little bit, but he still made a dirty toe drag. like, the Leafs will eventually have to make that decision because I can't see Anderson playing, like, 78 games. I know they have really good health science geniuses. Like, they literally have labs underneath the ACC. I'm
scientists that have beakers.
Mad scientists from Russia.
They have, like, boiling vats of green liquid. They know what they're doing.
I just... You look at Garrett Sparks. You look at Calvin Pickard. Those guys are way more deserving of a spot than Mac. I mean, look, Mac Laney also is a typical goalie where you put him in, he knows when he's starting, he's going to do his thing.
Against he's going to attempt to do his thing.
Against the Capitals, there's some of the goals I wish he would have stopped. I know it's Ovechkin, but...
Yeah, a Russian on that team that's pretty good.
Yeah, but those were savable shots. Yeah. Like... I look at teams like, Washington with Grubauer. I'm trying to think of... Look, Ryan Miller is the backup to John Gibson in Anaheim. I mean, he's injured now. James Reimer is the backup to Roberto Luongo. You can have a good goalie behind your starter. Now...
I guess with backup goalies, like, it's just like... He's here, I guess. Let's just keep him here until he can't be here. Like...
I do agree that like last year with Jonas Enroth, they weren't going to be patient forever, and they won't be patient. McElhinney did win them the game against Boston and against Detroit. So he just lost that game against Washington. I think that he's only had three starts. So again, small sample size. They gave Enroth five games. They'll give McElhinney the leash. I was just really weird that they signed it to 2 years. Because I'm like, look, I think he got 2 years. You have other goalies. I don't know why you put yourself in that position where you're committing to an older goalie for 2 years. That's why I didn't make it.
Trust him like that.
Again, they could put him on waivers. He can go.
Get Calvin Pickard if you aren't going to.
I think that was also to give their Marlies depth.
So then you don't trust Sparks then?
Well, no. Sparks has had injury issues in the past.
Yeah.
So there's that as well. But he seems to be, he did get himself in more shape for this season. You know, he had terrible eating habits.
Really?
When he first started, yeah. If you go, I can't remember who wrote a story on it, but he wasn't really looking after his body. He was eating garbage food. He made a whole shift to getting leaner and stuff like that. So it means a lot to a goalie to be in
Garrett
good
Sparks,
shape.
If you're listening, please train me. I feel
please
you.
Train everyone. I feel like he would. He would go to the defense a lot of people on social media, so he'll do that. He could be willing to do that for us.
I'll tweet him right now.
Yeah. I think this is where we're going to leave off. Once you start talking about backup goalies, it's time to end the conversation.
I just spent a minute trying to get a dime. That's where this conversation is right now.
Are you Paul Maurice? Are you thinking after Paul Maurice now? You heard that story, right?
No.
Paul Maurice, before a press conference where he was talking about the injuries, because he made it known that teams should not disclose certain injuries,
just
concussions. Which I was, it's good on him for saying that players need to take concussion seriously. But there was a dime on the floor, and he picked it up. And then this is before or after the conference. Like, reporters saw him. He looked at him. He's like, hey, my history with jobs. Basically saying, I'll take what I can get because you never know.
You got to use all of them, right?
Got to use them all. Well, I want to thank you guys for listening to the Tip of the Tower podcast. Make sure you go and check out any other episodes on Blog Talk Radio. We have the podcast up on the website, tipofthetower.com. Check us out on Facebook and Twitter, Tip of the Tower. You can follow myself, David Morsuti, D_Morsuti, 2 S's, 2 T's. You can follow Richard on Twitter, RLeeSam, 2 E's. And Austin Owens, even though he's not here, will still...
No, don't follow him. Austin's bad.
Austin does have some takes on the Leafs that, hey, he's an emotional guy. I like it, but some people
Has some takes.
He has takes. I have takes, too. Everyone's got takes. But he is working on a piece about what we kind of talked about a little bit about the Marner and Nylander fourth line experiment. He's going to go in more depth about it and how it's kind of helped them. So make sure you check that out. I did write something on the Leafs and why yesterday, or the Edmonton loss was a little troubling. I shouldn't say yesterday because you don't know when the person's going to listen to this. And yeah, make sure you check that out. We have a lot of Leafs content coming up. We looked at the Marlies quarter mark of the season. Impressive group this year once again. You got to give Sheldon Keefe and Kyle Dubas their dues on that one. And yeah, be sure to look at, we got a lot of TFC stuff. TFC.
No, wait, I'm doing the clap. Wait, just stay here for like another 20 minutes.
They're going to be off to the MLS Cup final, so make sure you look at the stuff we have. Nick, our TFC guy, wrote about Drew Moore. Paul also wrote about Josie Altidore.
Did you see what Drew Moore did during that scrum? I mean, I know that like that this is the closing, but one of the Columbus players put his hands on Drew Moore, and Drew Moore smacked it away, like, don't touch me.
Hey, TFC, don't mess with those guys. They got some guys who will scrap. Yeah, so they're off to the MLS Cup final rematch against the Seattle Sounders. I got some articles on the Argos, too, eventually coming up with the whole Ricky Ray situation. If you're interested, should take some time to look at it. All right, guys, thank you. Enjoy the Canucks game. Then the Leafs will not be back until, I believe, Wednesday next week when Calgary comes to town. And then they have the Oilers on the 10th, and they have in between. I'm not even going to look at this. I can't remember the schedule now, who they have in between. But the Leafs will have some breaks in their games before they then go off again on the road. Take care, guys. Have a good night or day.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.